Welcome to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft, a ministry of the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. Here's a preview of what you'll hear from Pastor Michael today.
It's not by your might or by your power, but it's by His Spirit, says the Lord. So what's the answer? How do I do this? You do what Abraham did. You make no provision for the flesh. You get rid of Ishmael and you embrace the Son. And in the midst of that, you don't embrace rules and religion. People are sick and tired of religion, man. Religion sucks. Can I say that in church? Religion ain't where it's at, man. It's about embracing the Son, Jesus, relationship, and embracing the wife, Grace.
Have you ever tried to make big changes in your life only to fall flat on your face? Have you ever felt like you've tried everything on your own only to feel hopeless? Well, in today's message, Pastor Michael wants you to know that if you want to see real change in your life, you need to put your trust in God. The only path to changing your life for the better is through Him and will never happen by your own strength. Stop shooting yourself in the foot by trying to fix everything on your own and give it to God. Now, here's Pastor Michael in the book of Galatians chapter 4. As he continues his message, you can't always get what you want.
Verse 24, these things are being taken figuratively for the women. Paul is saying that that story's not figurative, but I'm going to take them figuratively right now to teach you a lesson. So this is very big. It says these things are being taken figuratively for the women represent two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, and bears children in slavery. Mount Sinai throughout the Bible speaks, that's where Moses received the Ten Commandments. Remember Charlton Heston? Okay? Mount Sinai speaks of the law. It speaks of religion, okay? So Paul says that. He says, one is from Mount Sinai and bears children into slavery. This is Hagar. Now, Hagar represents Mount Sinai in Arabia, and it corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, and she's our mother, for it's written, and now we start talking about Sarah, rejoice, childless woman, unable to give birth. Burst into song and shout, you who are not in labor, for the children of the desolate woman will be many, more numerous than those of the woman who has a husband. Verse 28, now you too, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as then the child born as a result of the flesh persecuted the one born as a result of the spirit, so also now. Whew, okay, there's a lot of teachy stuff there. So you guys ready to put your thinking caps on? This is really big that we have this in the New Testament, and it speaks to the Old Testament here. Here's the point. The teasing, the mocking, whatever was taking place between 17-year-old Ishmael and 3-year-old Isaac, Paul is saying here that what happened in that story is a picture of what still happens today. It happens in the hearts of every person that calls themselves a believer, and it's happening constantly. It is the battle between the flesh and the spirit. That mock, the flesh is mocking your spirit man all the time. Let me give you some more scripture. In Galatians 5:17, it says, for the flesh desires what is against the spirit. You ever wonder why your non-Christian friends or family don't want to go to church, don't want to spend time reading the Bible? You know why? Because inside of them, their flesh is battling. Flesh wants nothing to do with the spirit, dude. You with me? Likewise, can I say, Kelly and I have been watching movies before, and there's something in my spirit that's like, that ain't groovy. Like, I can't watch that. I love movies big time. Those of you that know me know I love them, but there are times, very popular television shows or whatever. People are like, oh, you got to watch this show. We'll watch it, and there's a bunch of naked people on the screen, and we're going, what in the, we can't watch this. And it's not that we're being prudish, but the spirit inside of me is going, no! Are you with me? My flesh is going, yeah! Bring it! But my spirit's going, no. It's this battle that's going on with all of us, okay? So he says, the flesh desires what is against the spirit, and the spirit desires what's against the flesh. These are opposed to each other so that you don't do what you want. Paul would go into much more detail in Romans 7 and 8, talking about, man, do you ever find yourself just doing things you really don't want to do, and you don't want to do the things that you kind of do want to do? There's this constant battle going on. And the Bible, I think what the Bible is teaching, what I want to get across today, I hope it can be clear, is that what the solution is to cast out Ishmael. Send him packing. Sayonara, flesh. Well, that just seems really harsh. No, it's a picture. It's an illustration of the battle that's happening and what the answer to that battle is. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. I'm just going to pummel you with scripture here. Now, the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the spirit is life and peace. Now, leave that up there. Look at that. What is that saying? If I make a choice, and by the way, we all make choices. If I make a choice to be carnally minded, carnal is a big word that just means flesh. You ever get chili con carne? You know what that is? It's chili with flesh. Literally. Sorry. If I choose to chili con carne my brain, what happens is I'm making a choice to let the flesh have dominion over me, or can I say it this way, be in charge, if I'm making that choice. So that's what that verse is saying, is that if you want to make that choice, you're welcome to make that choice. Here's the bummer, leads to destruction, leads to death. But if you make a choice to be spiritually minded, it will lead to peace, right? Not just one day I get to go to heaven when I die. Now there's peace to be had with the person, the man or the woman who says, I will not be like everyone else in my culture, but I will choose to be spiritually minded. And maybe you're listening at this point and you're like, okay, Michael, that's all nice and groovy. Okay, fine. How practically do I cast out Ishmael? How do I really get rid of the flesh? I'm so glad you asked that question. Man, you do ask good questions. You and I have to do what Abraham does in our story, and we've got to send Ishmael packing with no provisions. No provisions. Again, Abraham didn't send him with the Visa card and the keys to the Ford Explorer, right? He didn't send him with a lot. He sends him basically with prisoner's rations, a little bit of bread, one thing of water. This is what we must do with the flesh. Bible says, Romans 13, 14, this is why Paul said this. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to this, and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's the same thing, being spiritually minded. It's like the idea there, the wording is like putting on a jacket. We're going to put Jesus on today. I wake up in the morning and I'm like, I know I got to go to work and work with a bunch of losers that hate God and they just make fun of everything or whatever. And I'm trying to be a Christian and I'm trying to live for God. Literally in the morning, you put on Jesus before you go to work. Because God understands, he talks in Ephesians chapter 6, right, about the armor of God. You put it on. These are things that we do. We put on Jesus Christ, and you don't make provisions for the flesh. I called this sermon, "You Can't Always Get What You Want," said the famous theologian Mick Jagger. My flesh doesn't get what it wants all the time. It's called spiritual discipline. Amen? Galatians chapter 6 says this, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. Whatever a person sows, he will also reap. You guys have heard this, right? Because the one who sows in his flesh will reap destruction from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Okay, what does that mean? Every fleshy thing that I hear, every fleshy, carnal thing that I allow into my brain, I watch. Every fleshy thing that I admit into my heart and into my life is like planting a seed into the soil of my soul. And eventually, that fleshy thing will spring up and it'll bear. Are you with me? Likewise, when I choose to put spiritual things, I am attending church. I am reading God's word. How many sermons have you heard a preacher say, you need to read the Bible more and pray every morning? We've all heard it. But the more we make a choice to do that and become spiritually minded, it's like planting a spiritual seed into the soil of your soul. That is a hard sentence to say with a slur. Spiritual seed into the soil of your soul. It will spring. I can't think of any more S words. Dang it. It'll spring up to spiritual super stuff. It'll bring glory to God, man. The greatest example I can think of is one that I've shared often at my funeral. This will be the thing people say. Remember, Pastor Michael used to always tell that one story. This is the one story. So many of you maybe have heard it before. But I remember the reason this is such an important illustration for me is because when someone told it to me, the light bulb went on in my head and it changed my life. So I'm sharing it with you. If you don't like it, keep it to yourself. But someone once told me this. It was a youth pastor. I was a young kid. And he said, Michael, you got two dogs in your stomach. And one's the white dog and one's the black dog, like those old Western movies where the guy with the white hat was Roy Rogers. He was the good guy, remember? And they always had the bad guy come in with the black hat and all his posse had the black hat. They were the bad guys. Same thing. He said, you got a white dog and they're always, always, always are they fighting with each other. And they're going at each other all the time. They're growling and everything. And we're always dealing in life with these spiritual battles that are coming all the time. And these dogs, you got your good dog and your white dog and they're growling at each other. He goes, Michael, here's the key, dude. The dog that wins the battle is the dog that you've been feeding. So if you're watching a bunch of garbage, you're watching a bunch of stuff that is absolutely flesh and it's just feeding your flesh, or you're just hanging around people all the time that feed your flesh, or you're going to the club or whatever and it's just feeding the flesh, okay? Dude, I'm telling you right now, you are bulking up that black dog. And you never read the word, you never pray, you never go to church, well, a couple times a year maybe, but you're never feeding the white dog. Your white dog turns into the Taco Bell Chihuahua dog. So you got the big black dog, and you got the yip, 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 with that stupid demonic dog outside right now. So what happens is, the moment of temptation comes, right? Here comes the pretty woman. She's walking by, and you got, and you're, or whatever the temptation might be for you. And you come by, and you're like, oh, and so your dogs are growling. But the black dog's massive. And your little spiritual dog's like, eep, eep, eep. So what happens? Rips the jaws right into that little spiritual dog and tears it up, and you give in to the temptation. I remember he told me, he said, you're there and there's a piece of candy and you can steal it from the store and you're looking around. Your dogs are growling, Michael, if you take the candy or you leave it. See what I'm saying? Big deal. And you know what happens after that black dog rips into the white dog? He then sinks his jaws into you. And all of a sudden you're dealing with depression and you're dealing with discontentment. And you're dealing with being discouraged all the time. And you're like, I don't know why I'm discouraged all the time. I know why you're discouraged all the time. Because all you've done, dude, is feed the flesh. Now, conversely, if we become people that begin to feed our spirit, man, and that white dog is bulking up, and now we got the little teeny, the black dog, every time spiritual warfare comes up, that white dog just rips the throat out of the black dog. Oh. Now, I know that's a weird illustration, but to me, dude, the light bulb went on. And he was like, Michael, it's not about being a goody-goody and you can't do all what all your friends are doing. It's not about that. It's about you being the man that God's called you to be. And really, in this context, gang, it's about you and I sending Ishmael packing. Sayonara. Not only do I know God can watch him, but this is a beautiful picture, as Paul says, of the flesh and the battle that's constantly going on. Isaac is a picture of the Spirit. We must be those that embrace the Spirit, the Son, S-O-N, the S-O-N, Jesus. Are you guys with me? This is a big, big, big deal. We're always feeding one of those dogs, which one is going to be. Always. You're always feeding. Which one are you feeding? Think about that. You know, there's a story, and I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, there's a story where King Saul is coming back from a battle, and the prophet is named Samuel. And so Samuel comes up to King Saul, and he's like, hey, Saul, you know, how'd it go? It went good. Who's that dude? And Saul goes, oh, well, that's Agag. Agag. Isn't that a great name? That's Agag. He's the king of the Amalekites. And the prophet, Samuel's like, Didn't God tell you, through me, by the way, didn't God tell you that you should do away with the Amalekites, that you should kill them all, don't leave any living? And Saul's like, well, yeah, but I kept Agag as a trophy. And you notice he's in chains, everything's fine, prophet boy, calm down. Listen, 23 years later, Saul, King Saul, is doing battle against the Philistines. And he's on this hill called Galboa, Mount Galboa. And he's there and he gets shot and he's laying there and he opens his eyes and there's a dude standing over him with a sword. And Saul says this, who are you? And the guy's response, it's in 2 Samuel chapter 1, read it later. But he says, I am an Amalekite, and kills him. Follow this, okay? The thing Saul was told to kill and do away with came back 23 years later and did him in. What's the lesson, boys and girls? If God is speaking to us to get rid of that stuff that's in the closet, the stuff that you've boxed up in the garage, well, it's not that bad. I'm just, you know, dude, if God's speaking to you, get rid of it now. It could be an Agag to come back and take you out later, right? But if you and I'll choose to say, Ishmael, you got to go now, as Ray Romano would say, now, you got to go. God will give you the strength and he will give you the power to live by his spirit, not the flesh. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We must be men and women who live by God's spirit. Amen? Which brings us to the third and final point, and I'll go real quick. I got just 7 minutes. Number three is this. Not only when he sent him away, it shows what we should be embracing ourselves. Not just embracing the son, but I think going back and embracing our wife. Not only did God tell him to punt Ishmael, he told him to get rid of Hagar too, okay? Go back, embrace your son, and embrace your wife, Sarah. That passage in Galatians 4, I'm not going to read it again, but if you can go back and read it later, you will see that the other allegory part of that story, Paul says, is not just Ishmael and Isaac being the flesh and the spirit, but he says that Hagar and Sarah are also a picture of the old covenant, the new covenant, Mount Sinai, the law, the rules, the regulations that got handed down on Mount Sinai in contrast with the new covenant. What's the new covenant? The fact, Jeremiah 31 says, that God one day was going to write his law on the tablets of our heart. We wouldn't need tablets of stone anymore. What does that mean? When Jesus came and Jesus said, we're going to go to Jerusalem. By the way, they're going to kill me. And the disciples are like, well, then we ain't going to Jerusalem. And Jesus is like, nah, we got to go to Jerusalem. Everything my dad wants to happen has got to happen. By the way, you want me to go because when I leave, I will send the comforter. And well, what's that? That's the Holy Spirit. What's that? Holy Spirit comes into my life, and now I don't have to have these tablets I got to look up. God's Spirit now lives in me, and this is the new covenant. You guys with me? He convicts me. He's guiding. The Bible says, literally telling us to go left or right, God's Spirit living within the believer. This is a big, big deal. We embrace Sarah. We embrace, can I say it this way, grace. We do not embrace the law. You know what Michael's tendency is? My tendency is just tell me what to do. It'd be really cool if, like in the olden days, if we could have a list of all the do's and don'ts on the church wall. Like that would be killer. Don't smoke. Don't chew. Don't run with girls who do. Right? Oh, I can do that. See, that's my tendency. My tendency is just tell me what to do and what not to do, and then I can be a Christian and go to heaven. Just give me the rules, bro. And God's like, yeah, actually, it's not that easy. You know? Well, the Bible says that we shouldn't have adultery. Yeah, that's great, Jesus says. Yeah, hey, here's someone. I'm going to take it a step higher. Don't even look at a woman with lust in your heart. Oh, wow. I'm good with the rule of not having adultery, like I can probably handle that, or at least I can handle it and not get caught. But the whole mind, what? Jesus was always raising the standard, right? It's not about following rules. If you just gave me a bunch of rules, then I can nod my head, and I can be a good little boy, and I can sort of do the religious thing. And Jesus is like, no, I want you to be led by my Spirit. Well, what does that mean? It means every day I got to put on Christ and I got to say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to run into out there, but Lord, would you help me say the right things? Shut up when I need to shut up. Anybody ever pray that prayer? All the time. Lord, help me shut up today. Jesus is like, that is a miracle, Michael. Let me tell you what happens when I become a rule follower and I embrace Hagar, as Paul has explained who she is. Let me tell you what happens. Two things, and then we're done. Number one, I start judging you. Because I got up this morning and had my prayer devotion. What did you do? You with me? I start condemning people. I start looking at myself like I'm something awesome.
Do you do anything on Saturday? Are you a vegan?
I don't know why I said that. You know what I'm saying? We always want to look at other people and say, well, you know, if I were you, I would do it this way, and I'm so glad I'm not you. That's the first thing that can happen when I'm just a rule follower. The second thing that can happen is I start condemning myself. God, I did it for 5 days. I got, you know, January 1st through January 5th, I read the plan on YouVersion, and I read the Bible for 5 days, but I missed the 6th day, and I guess I'll start again next year. Anybody ever do that? Right? So that's what happens. I either become a condemning dude, or shouldn't we say this? I become a condemning prude, or I become a self-condemning dude. See how that rhymed? I start condemning other people, or I say, I'm just a failure. You know, I tried to do this God thing. I tried to be right, but he didn't answer my prayer the way I wanted him to, or I failed or whatever. And then all of a sudden, I give up. And I would suggest to you, we're seeing people all over the world today walk away from Christianity and church because they failed. They couldn't do it. None of us can. Here's a clue. None of us can do it. We need Christ in me, Paul says, the hope of glory. He says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We like to say the first part, well, I can do all things. I'm a Christian. No, dude, you can't do jack. You know what you can do? You can do anything if Christ is doing it through you and he's strengthening you. And again, Zechariah 4:6, it's not by your might or by your power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord. So what's the answer? How do I do this? You do what Abraham did. You make no provision for the flesh. You get rid of Ishmael and you embrace the Son. And in the midst of that, you don't embrace rules and religion. People are sick and tired of religion, man. Religion sucks. Can I say that in church? Religion ain't where it's at, man. It's about embracing the Son, Jesus, relationship, and embracing the wife, Grace. And in that, gang, because here it is. Listen, this is what I grew up thinking. I thought to be a Christian, I had all these responsibilities. I had to be, it's not about your responsibilities. It is about your response. When I look at Jesus hanging on the cross for me with great love, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're spitting at him. They're cursing at him. What a joke you are. You're a joke, Jesus. Why don't you climb down off the cross if you're the Son of God? And he's like, Father, they don't even know what they're doing. When I look at that, and then I realize that he reached into the muck and the mire and yanked Michael's life out of it when I was living for bad stuff. And when I see that, my response is, God, I love you back. I love you back. It's not my responsibility. Well, I got to be a good boy. No, my response, I love you, Jesus. Embrace the Son.
You've been listening to Burning Hearts with Pastor Michael Kraft. Pastor Michael has more to share from the book of Genesis, so be sure to join us again. In the meantime, you can learn more about the Burning Hearts Radio Ministry by visiting our website, thealpinechapel.com. Once there, you'll be introduced to the church behind this ministry, the Alpine Chapel in Telluride, Colorado. We'd love to have you join us for worship. We meet together to learn from God's Word and spend time praising His name. It's an incredible time of fellowship. So if you're in the area, make plans to join us Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 9 a.m. You'll find all the information you need, including directions, at thealpinechapel.com. If you're not in the area, you can still be a part of our Sunday morning worship. We're streaming this service live right from our website as well as on Facebook. And speaking of Facebook, come follow our page for all the latest updates and event invitations. You can follow the link at our website or just search for The Alpine Chapel. If you ever have any questions about what you heard on Burning Hearts or would like to ask us to pray with you, please don't hesitate to get in touch. You can send us a message on Facebook or just visit the contact page at thealpinechapel.com. One more time, that's thealpinechapel.com. Well, we've officially come to the end of our time with you today. Place a marker where you've left off in Genesis and make plans to join Pastor Michael again next time, right here on Burning Hearts.